Good morning, everyone. Well, we were all just here, or a lot of us here, Thursday evening, and that was indeed a beautiful service. It really was. The music was phenomenal, and it was just a joyous evening. Less than a month to Christmas. Can you believe it? Well, this Sunday is the beginning, it's the first week of the Advent season. Now, in Unity, we haven't always celebrated Advent. It's just been, I think, the last decade or so that we have joined with traditional churches to celebrate this wonderful time of year. Advent, which means anticipation, it means the coming. And in Unity, as we prepare for this time of celebration for the birth of Jesus Christ, and to celebrate and honor that divine, that Christ in each of us, and a rebirthing of that. So the focus that we use as we run up to this wonderful Christmas day is hope, peace, joy, and love. I'm going to adjust. Pause it. Can everyone hear me there? How's that? Okay. All right. Okay. It's a time of moving from despair to hope, from moving from chaos to peace, from sadness to joy, from hate to love. It's a wonderful transition time, a preparation time, again, for bringing us up to that beautiful day of Christmas, awakening the Christ in us and celebrating the birth of Jesus. So hope, the first focus that we have during this Advent season, which seems so appropriate because without hope, you can't have much else, can you? Hope is something that everyone can relate to. It's something that everyone understands. It's something that we have to get out of bed in the morning to put one foot in front of the other. That we have to be able to see if there's a tomorrow, a gleam of light somewhere in life. And of course, most of us know what it feels like not to feel that hope. So hope, not magical thinking or wishing, because for hope, it requires work on our part, remembering who we are, making a choice to expand the boundaries to look for hope and to share in hope. It's also not necessarily faith. Over the years, I'm sure if you have been in church at all, you've heard many of us, especially in the pulpits, spittering and spattering and trying to explain what faith is, and quoting everyone we know. But hope doesn't need that much explanation because, again, we all know what it is. Whether we're a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Baha'i, an agnostic, an atheist, we all get what hope is. And that hope is needed for our very survival, our physical existence, our emotional existence. I've shared with you several times that several years ago, I was in pastoral education training, and during that training, I was part of a program to find how much hope influenced the recovery of patients and their return or not return to the hospital. It played a huge part. The patients who had hope recovered much faster. The patients who had hope tended not to return for the same illness. And then, of course, for our emotional well-being. There was a wonderful story I heard last year about this time of year driving to work. And it was the story of a woman who had lost all hope. Her husband died. And she had engraved on his tombstone, "The light in my life has gone out." Well, 2 years passed, and she fell in love again. So she returned to the cemetery with a handwritten note. And on the note, she told her husband she still loved him, but I've struck another match. I thought, what a beautiful story of hope, of hope. And I believe it's important for us to know who we are in order to have hope. It depends on the image that we have of ourselves. I took my two youngest grandchildren to the Magic House. I'm sure everybody here has been to the Magic House. And in front of one of those mirrors that distorts who we are, you know, your head is 3 feet long and you're 1 inch tall. And looking at that, and I remember my granddaughter said, "Eeks, I don't look like that." I said, "No, thank God we don't." But the distorted image that we often have of ourselves, we can either look at ourselves and our relationship with our Creator, to look at ourselves as a worm of the earth, a no-good sinner, someone who isn't worthy, someone that God has just taken a list and keeping every single thing down we're doing wrong. Living from that perspective doesn't leave much room for hope, does it? But on the other hand, as we teach here, if we look at ourselves as a beloved child of God, as here expressing God, being the voice, the ears, the feet, the hands, the love, the compassion of God in this world, worthy, beloved of a God who loves us unconditionally, can you see where that would give us maybe a more hopeful perspective in life? And then I believe it's important that we be willing to expand our boundaries, to be willing to look for light, to be willing to look for hope, not just wanting it to fall in our lap, but making an effort to see it as we go through our life each day. A woman by the name of Alice Palmer ended up being the very famous president of Wellesley College. But before that, she had spent many years teaching Sunday school. And one of her young students was from a poverty-stricken family. There were 7 children in the family. There was never enough of anything. But the little girl, her name was Joanne, always managed to get to Sunday school. And she loved to be in Miss Palmer's Sunday school class. Miss Palmer gave an exercise for all her students. And she said, "I want you all to go home and to find something beautiful and hopeful in your home." Well, the little girl came back the next week, and she said, "I looked and looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find anything beautiful or hopeful in my home." And so after a bit of conversation with Miss Palmer, she said, "Well, I guess there was something. One day, as I was sitting at the kitchen table, I saw the sunlight come streaming through the window, and it just lit on my baby sister curls. And that was so beautiful, and I felt so good." Well, many decades later, after Miss Palmer had died, Her husband, who was a university professor, was giving a lecture in the town where this young woman lived, Joanne. So Joanne went to meet him mainly. And after his lecture, she said, "Your wife, in one simple exercise, changed my whole life because she taught me how to look for hope. She taught me how to look past the boundaries, to look closely to all those beautiful little things in life that can bring us hope." Isn't that a beautiful story? Hope. And then if we want hope, it's important to share it. Just like with anything in life, whatever we want more of, we give more of, don't we? That's a principle of the universe. If you want more love, give more love. You want more compassion shown, show more compassion. You want more money, give more money. You want more hope, help others find some of that as well. We teach in Unity that we are all one, that what affects one affects all of us eventually. And certainly, to be able to share and to give someone a little hope is one of the greatest gifts that we have to give to one another. I think one of the most beautiful examples of what it means to share hope, to extend a hand of kindness, came from a little boy named Alex, who's 6 years old. And this has been on the news recently in the last few months, so I'm sure many of you have heard this story. And it's in response to a picture that we all saw of a little boy, a Syrian boy, sitting in the back of an ambulance, all bloodied and alone. Remember that picture? I think it really touched us all at a very deep level. Well, in response to that, a little boy in the Midwest wrote a letter to President Obama because he had heard the story of this little boy who they didn't know if he was an orphan or where he was going to go, what he was going to do. And here's what the little boy wrote. "Dear President Obama, remember the boy who picked up by the ambulance in Syria? Can you please go get him and bring him to my home? Park in the driveway or on the street. We'll be waiting for you guys with flags and flowers and balloons. We will give him a family and he will be our brother. Catherine, my little sister, will be collecting butterflies and fireflies for him. And in my school, I have a friend from Syria. His name is Omar, and I'll introduce them. We can all play together. We can invite him to birthday parties, and he will teach us another language. We can teach him English too, just like my friend Otto from Japan. Please tell him that his brother will be Alex, who is a very kind boy just like him. Since he won't bring toys and doesn't have toys, my little sister Catherine said she will share her bunny with him. And I'll share my bike, and I'll teach him how to ride it. I'll teach him addition and subtraction and math. And he can even smell my sister Catherine's lip gloss, which is green, and she never lets anybody touch that." And he ends this letter to the president with, "Thank you very much. I just can't wait for you all to come." Signed, Alex, 6 years old. What a story of extending hope. I can only imagine what this little Alex is going to grow up to be. So on this first week of Advent, this week of hope, My prayer for all of us is that first we be aware of how important it is, if we don't have hope, to find a way of living with hope for our physical well-being, for our emotional, our mental well-being, to be willing to look at who we are and see the truth of who we are. A beloved child of God, a light in the world, here to make a difference. And to be willing to look in those small and out-of-the-way places for that gleam of hope, just like the little girl did with the sunlight streaming through the kitchen window and touching her little sister's curls. And then to be willing to share in whatever way that we can do that, whether it's teaching an illiterate adult how to read, calling a neighbor who's alone, just extending a hand of kindness, a stranger on the street. Because this season of hope and peace and joy and love really affords us an opportunity to look at who we are individually, as a country, as a world, and to remember that we are indeed all one, all here together, trying to find the same things, trying to find hope, trying to find peace, joy, and love. So it is indeed a glorious time, this time of Advent, to focus on those attributes, to see them in our life, to see us moving closer and closer, embracing those to help us be the greatest Christ light that we can be. And probably nothing that we do in unity, in my opinion, gives us more hope than the wonderful affirmation that we say together with Unity churches all over the world, each and every Sunday, each time we meet. It's affirming who God is, that God is present, that God is powerful. So now let us together join in this beautiful affirmation that there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Now, I know each church says that a little bit differently, so whatever your tradition is here, that we join together at one voice, in a powerful voice in unity, as we affirm this together. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. So it is.